You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Portions of roadways into Yosemite Valley are closed because of the Ferguson fire, which is only contained by a few percent at this point. It's burning outside the park. It started on Friday. Cap Radio's environment reporter Ezra David Romero spent time in Yosemite earlier this summer. He has immersed himself in many of the issues of this park, and he launches a limited series podcast today titled Yosemite Land. He's in the studio to talk more about the project. Hi, Ezra.
Hey, Beth.
I know this is something you've been very excited about. This fire, as all fires around the park and across the state are, is frightening. So why don't you update the numbers for us at this point?
Yeah, so there's it's about 9,000 acres. It's 2% contained. There's about 500 people working on the fire. And, you know, this is an area that saw a fire last year nearby called the Detweiler Fire that burned, in the end, 81,000 acres, burned about 63 homes, 67 other structures, and one business. It's an area that's, like, very foothilly and brush, but then it meets these steep mountains that go into Yosemite Park, these big ravines, and they're very hard to fight and actually to put people in. And this time of year, we see a lot of brush fires, right, in the lowland, this Mariposa area. And that it's all those foothills with lots of brush, and so that's what's burning at the moment, and then also into these ravine type places.
Fire is certainly part of the ecology of the area and the national park. So when you visit the park and they talk to you about concerns, obviously traffic or the environment, pollution, is fire near the top of that list?
Yeah, I spoke with the fire chief in Yosemite, Kelly Martin, a few weeks ago, and she was talking about how there's been this 100 years of suppression of fire in the forest, in the Yosemite, in the area around it. That's something they're actively trying to change. And what that means is they've had this culture of putting fires out, right, because they're nearby where people live, or there's logging happening, things like that. So that means there's a lot of fuel on the ground with brush and trees and things like that. So that's why some of these fires can get really big really fast, because all that is there. And so they're trying to change that by doing prescribed burns and managing the forest in a bit of a different way. But when you have this, when it's a whole-scale forest problem,
right,
they can only do so much at each time. So right, they're going segment by segment of the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and we have so much standing dead timber right now across the state. Let's go to the scope of your reporting. Talk about when you were in Yosemite and what your goals were.
Yeah, so earlier this year, I pitched some stories about Yosemite, and then we had this idea, let's turn this into a podcast. And so there's all these issues in Yosemite. Before I got to the station in November here, I was working in Fresno for about 5 years, and I covered Yosemite often for Valley Public Radio. And so I did a series in the fall of last year on affordable housing in the region and how there's so many Airbnbs in the communities around Yosemite that people who live there are having a hard time finding places to live. And people who live in the park aren't taking jobs because they can't find a place to live there. So I had all this reporting experience, and so we decided let's focus on that a bit. And so our first episode is all about tourism, overpopulation, the idea of sense of place, how things are changing in the park. And so we start off by talking about commercialization and what embodies that more than a new Starbucks opening. And so Freddie Brewster, he's the guy who started a petition against Starbucks opening back in, like, say, February, March. And let's hear a clip from him.
It's not necessarily Starbucks or Aramark. It's the Park Service not really upholding its values and not really being a proper caretaker for conservation purposes.
I asked people on my Facebook and Twitter what they thought about Starbucks opening. Robert Pasillas and Christy Page live near Yosemite and visit often.
I was shocked to be in Yosemite Valley and to see Starbucks right there, right dead center. Makes me wonder what's next.
I don't feel that you should drive to Yosemite and say, oh my gosh, I'm going to go get a latte.
So that was part of the podcast. We'll hear my voice going back and forth a bit in these clips. And, you know, the Park Service did respond, and they were skeptical at first about a Starbucks coming in. They came in because Aramark, the concessionaire, revamped things about 2 years ago, and they were revamping a older coffee shop in this place called Yosemite Lodge. And so the Starbucks is there, and people do go there, but there's a large, it goes into this larger conversation about commercialization in these parks that people hold so dear, because they think of them in this natural world. And so that was what's going on there. And then, so the second part of the podcast is all about sense of place. Like, how does a Starbucks, how do things like that affect how you experience a park? And I met a woman there named Catherine Keske. She's a professor at UC Merced, and she's actively studying people's experiences right now.
I think an international community and a very large group, and they're, for them, it's posing in front of this majestic wonder, you know, this waterfall. A lot of people, this is probably their first time to Yosemite. Perhaps it'll be the only time that they'll come.
Keske wants to know how the way they're visiting creates memories and how that affects their perception of the park.
We know that there are a lot of crowds in Yosemite, but yet every year we continue to have more and more people. So how does that affect sense of place? Or to some people it might be without crowds, it wouldn't be the same.
You're listening to clips from a new podcast by Cap Radio Environment reporter Ezra David Romero. The podcast is titled Yosemite Land. Episode 1 launches today, with new episodes continuing over the next several Mondays. Are you one of those California kids that took a field trip in grade school to Yosemite?
We didn't take one. My parents were big campers, and so we camped in Yosemite a lot as kids and all over the Sierra Nevada. So that was sort of my first experience with Yosemite, was being there as a kid, driving in the back of the station wagon we had in the very back, looking out back, getting sick because of the fumes, things like that, and camping in the park. And so I have this long history there, to the point, which I'll make in the podcast, that sometimes as someone who's been there so many times and you're dealing with the traffic, the sheer amount of people, that you don't actually want to go anymore.
I was going to ask you that, because the park does bring people who have never seen it, and it might be, as you just said in that clip, the first experience from all over the world. But a lot of visitors are generational, people who did go as kids and then bring their families. And what's talked about more and more, Ezra, is traffic. What was your experience when you were there?
You know, I was there earlier this summer and then once again about a month later, and the first time the traffic was fine. The second time I actually had this great experience where I was coming into the park, a line of like 15 to 20 cars. A ranger was going car by car, asking if you had your annual pass and things like that. And I had a buddy's annual pass, and she let me zoom by all those people. So it was actually quite a great
experience. Because the annual pass.
Because I had the annual pass, I didn't have to go do all that again. But, you know, say you're there on a Friday or a Saturday, traffic is pretty terrible. And in the summertime, that can be on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. And to Rhonda Salisbury with the Yosemite Sierra Visitors Bureau, she sums up the issue really well. Let's hear from her.
I mean, in this industry, nobody would say, hey, don't go to Yosemite because it's too crowded. But now we want to say, hey, Yosemite's going to be very crowded between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Why don't you go at 7 a.m. and watch the valley wake up, or go at 4 and watch the valley go to sleep? You know, I mean, it's beautiful in all those times. It's cooler, and you're not going to sit in traffic for several hours.
The reality is that more than 4 million people now visit the park every year, though.
Yeah, tons and tons of people. And visitation is down this year. In 2016, they had about 5 million people visit. And because of fire, because of roads falling out with lots of rain, things like that, the numbers have come down. But there are groups trying to figure out how to diversify that 4 million people. And one of those groups is called Nature Bridge. They are a group that sort of operates like a summer camp. Kids go there for a week. And about a couple years ago, they started to actively think about who their counselors should be or their educators. And so they have this new program where they're trying to get more people of color and as counselors, LGBT people as counselors. And so I went on a hike with this group, a guy named Quat Moretz. He's an environmental educator and a group of Sacramento teens. And here's him talking about that program.
Students of color and different identities feel more comfortable when they have an educator that looks like them. And it's not what they might stereotypically think an environmental science teacher is going to look like. So they come here and they say, wow, you know, this guy looks like me, this girl looks like me, maybe I could do that job. Rather than thinking, oh, this job is for a certain sect of people in the world.
And so the podcast is now up on iTunes. Episode 1 is available. It's called Selfie Trap. And we talk about it a bit more in the episode. There's a moment where we have another professor from UC Merced analyzing my Instagram, talking about how my sense of place has changed there from a kid to now. And so it's going to be fun. listen. You can go to capradio.org/Yosemite Land. It's pretty cool.
You invoked Ira Glass there a moment. You said it's called Yosemite Land. The episode is Selfie. There's a moment in it when, and I thought, yes, tune in and listen to this because we're going to meet rock climbers, bear biologists, Native Americans born in the park, realtors who are selling homes.
You'll meet
a
bear in this first episode as well.
I meet a bear?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm in. Thanks so much, Ezra. Again, it's Yosemite Land. Plus, there are photos of Ezra's work in the park and maps. It's all at capradio.org. This is Insight on Capital Public Radio.